this Zen story, which is seems related. A Zen master, Ungan Donse, was a close friend of Dogo. Ungan has the following mondo on the subject of Zen personality. One day, Ungan was making tea. Dogo happened to come along and asked, "For whom are you making tea?" Ungan replied, "There is a man who wants to drink tea." "Why then don't you make that man make tea himself?" Dogo went on to ask. Ungan nonchalantly said, "Well, I happen to be here." Dogo was satisfied at this reply and went away. And here's a comment by Shibayama. Logically speaking, Ungan's remark that there is a man who wants to drink tea will naturally be interpreted to refer to another fellow who wants tea apart from the speaker, Ungan himself. Actually, however, there is just one Ungan here. A man here, therefore, should mean the transcendent absolute personality, Zen personality, who is with Ungan or is in Ungan. Dogo, of course, was well aware of it. Although Dogo clearly appreciated Ungan's Zen spirituality in his first reply, he went on to test further how deep and true his Zen attainment was. In his second question, "Why don't you make that man make tea himself?" Dogo purposely took the standpoint of the individual self. Ungan's Zen attainment was, however, so firm that it was not to be shaken at all. The transcendental self should work as an individual self too. Otherwise, it will lose its significance and truth as a transcendental self. Ungan acted as an individual self here and said, "Well, I happen to be here." The individual self who happens to be here is at the same time the transcendental self who wants to drink tea. Well, the question that would have come up for many of you this week, or you might think should have come up for many of you this week, is what are you thankful for? I remember in school or in Sunday school or places that question would be asked. And so my response was always a feeling of should. You know, I should be thankful for this, I should be thankful for that. But there wasn't much exploration of an actual thankfulness or where thanksgiving comes from, a sense of thanksgiving comes from, something a little deeper. Everything was encased in a should. There is a story that I find particularly seemingly relevant to this, and it's about a myokonin, which is a person practicing the Pure Land Buddhism who is very deeply responding to that mode of practice, and who is appreciated by everyone around for their depth of practice. Towards the end of the Tokugawa regime, there was a Shin devotee, Shinshu, that's Pure Land Buddhism, devotee, a woman called Sono, who lived in the little castle town of Mikawa. She was much respected by the people around. Many invaluable stories of her life of devotion remain. Let me present one of them to you. Once, a Shin follower, after making a long trip, came to see Sono and asked, "How can I get my mind pacified in accordance with the teaching of the other power?" In Pure Land Buddhism, there's an appreciation of the other power as compared with Zen, which appreciates the self power. But they are both forms of Buddhism. She told him, "In the morning and in the evening, whenever anything occurs to you, keep on saying, 'Thanks for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever.'" As instructed, the man faithfully kept on saying from morning till night, "Thanks for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever." His mind, however, could not get the desired peace. So according to another version, after a year, he came again to Sono, all exhausted, and said, "Ever since I received your instruction, I have been doing as you told me. Still, I cannot get my mind pacified. What should I do now?" Sono at once replied, "Thanks for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever." The follower, perhaps because of his assiduous application, was able to open his spiritual eye at these words and returned home with a great joy. I was thinking of making copies of this story and passing it out. And then I realized it's probably better for you to hear it, and whatever you remember of it, just keep it in your mind and let it come back as a memory now and then. I first heard this story quite a while ago, and it's a kind of a ruthless story. It has nothing to do with should, actually, what you should be thankful for. It's simply a response to the way things actually are, and a profound acceptance of what actually is. And saying thank you is can become your own way of actualizing the way that your realization that things are the way they are. The pain that's in your knee, or the threat of eviction, or the beautiful fog pouring through the trees. Whatever the experience is that's happening, somehow, at some point, it becomes possible to appreciate them. And the word appreciate doesn't only mean seeing it has value, but it extends to realizing its full nature. It's painful as well as joyful or pleasurable aspects. So I think this can somewhat follow this thought of there is another one drinking tea, or another one who is sitting, or another one who is doing an activity or being in a way which isn't the way we feel right now. And that one is totally receiving, or totally accepting. In the Heart Sutra, the Bodhisattva is depending on, or is taking refuge in, or is deeply practicing, or is abiding in the Prajnaparamita, which we can sometimes understand as profound acceptance or profound gratitude. Elsewhere in the Heart Sutra, there is nothing to attain and nothing not to attain, because in part it is because of our appreciation of what is now, or of the experiencing of now. So I would like to read one description of the joy of being. This is by Eckhart Tolle. Unhappiness or negativity is a disease on our planet. What pollution is on the outer level is negativity on the inner. It is everywhere, not just in places where people don't have enough, but even more where they have more than enough. Is that surprising? No, the affluent world is even more deeply identified with form, more lost in content, more trapped in ego. People believe themselves to be dependent on what happens for their happiness, that is to say, dependent on form. They don't realize that what happens is the most unstable thing in the universe. It changes constantly. They look upon the present moment as either marred by something that has happened or shouldn't have, or as deficient because of something that has not happened but should have. And so they miss the deeper perfection that is inherent in life itself. A perfection that is always already here, that lies beyond what is happening or not happening, beyond form. Accept the present moment and find the perfection that is deeper than any form and untouched by time. The joy of being, which is the only true happiness, cannot come to you through any form, possession, achievement, person, or event, through everything that happens. That joy cannot come to you ever. It emanates from the formless dimension within you, from consciousness itself, and thus is one with who you are.